Good. Well, I'm so glad that you joined us. I don't know about you, but I just love entering in our time with worship, and just it's so sweet when the Lord meets us in our worship time and gathering. So I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad that you're here today. As we continue our series, we're calling Epic Faith. And don't you love my picture of me on the wave? No, I'm just kidding. It's not me. I wish I could be on a wave that big, but this morning we're going to continue this series about big faith. Because we want to talk about faith, not just little faith that doesn't do anything, but faith that will really change our lives, change our world. That's the sort of faith that I believe God wants each and every one of us to have. Now, a long time ago, I visited a campground in Northern California, very similar to Cedar Crest. It's in the Sierra Nevadas. It's for the Northern California district. And it's one of my favorite places on earth. And as we get into our message, I want to share a little story about my time there. See, up there at that camp, there was this ropes course. Now, if you've ever been on a ropes course, you know, like you climb up in the trees and you got all these wires and things and there's zip lines and it's kind of crazy. But all that stuff is pretty normal, right? I mean, you got zip lines, you're walking across and you're hanging from trees and you're strapped in. But then there's something altogether different that they have up at that camp. It's something that I was up there for a men's camp many years ago, and there was something else that was quite terrifying. Now, men's camp is a beautiful experience. We called it man camp. And it's a great experience just to be around a bunch of men. It's really really funny to watch the sleeping arrangements. You put all those grown men in one large cabin, and all the sounds and smells that come from it is just an amazing thing. But I'll never forget, there's a time that I went, and they have a new thing up there on the ropes course that was absolutely terrifying. It was one of these things that would make these big, burly men at man camp get a little weak in the knees. And they called it the leap of faith. Now, the leap of faith, if you're not familiar, it's where you climb up a tree 30 or 1,000 feet. I don't know how tall it was. It was really high up. You climb up this perfectly good tree on a ladder, and then at the very top, there's a tiny, teeny little platform. It's this wooden platform just kind of duct taped to the tree. Hopefully it'll stay there. But you climb out on this thing, and if that wasn't enough, then they put a trapeze handle just out of reach on the edge of this tree, and it's hung between these two trees. And the idea is that you're insane enough, or maybe you have faith enough, I don't know. Yeah, you're insane enough to jump out of this tree that's, you know, maybe 1,000 feet in the air. I don't know how tall it was. It was really high. But you jump out of this tree, and hopefully you can grab onto this trapeze handle. And once you do, then everyone cheers, and then they lower you down, and it's nice. But, you know, if you don't, you could certainly fall to your death. Maybe they'll catch you. I don't know. But why risk it, right? But this thing was amazing. And if you missed it, it was a scary thing. But you were tied in. They would probably catch you. You probably wouldn't die. But by the way, I did that thing, and I totally survived it. I jumped, and I lived. My shorts didn't live. I had to change my shorts. But other than that, I survived it. But what I loved about that thing is it was called a leap of faith. And I believe in a very real sense that there are leaps of faith in our life that we have to take all the time. Now, they're scary. They're really scary. We've got to climb up into some place that's foreign to us. And we've got to step outside of our comfort zone and take a leap of faith and trust that God has got us. Just as those men on the bottom were holding the harness, they were holding the rope that was tied to me. We've got to trust that as we take our leaps of faith, that God has got us. That God is holding the rope, and he's not going to let us down. He's not going to let us fall to our death. He's not going to let us down. And I pray this morning that God would give to us a small measure of that type of faith. That type of faith that would be able to trust God as we take those leaps of faith, that God has got us, that God will hold us up even when gravity would want to pull us down. And this morning, we're going to look at a man named Abraham. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 11 or your Bible app. You can turn there. As many of you know, the YouVersion Bible app, if you go to events, you can find all of our notes for this morning's gathering. But my prayer this morning is that as we look at this life of a man named Abraham, God would give us a little portion of his brand of faith. Because Abraham was a man that trusted God. He took a leap of faith, and God caught him. So Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start in verse 8. In fact, it's going to be on the screen. Would you read this aloud with me, church? Are you guys ready? Yes. Ready? Go. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. See, Abraham was looking forward to that. And this morning, I want us to look at a few of Abraham's keys of faith. Keys to what he does and the way he lived his life in such a way that transformed things. If that's Jesus, I'll take it. But I want to look at that life, the life of Abraham. And this morning, we're going to look at a couple application points of how we can apply that truth to our life as well. Uh-oh, someone's phone's still going. And the first truth I want to look at this morning is this idea, this big idea, if you're taking notes, is this, that faith means going. Faith means going. Is that my phone back in the sound booth? It might be. It's Jim's. It's the sound guy. Jim's walking back in from getting a cup of coffee. Hey, Jim. Your phone's going off, buddy. I love church. I love it. Woo! Let's give a round of applause for Jim. So faith means going. Going sometimes without even knowing where we're going. The Bible tells us that Abraham obeyed God and went when he was called to go out. Can't make it be quiet. Things possessed. Because faith, can you guys ignore? Oh, there we go. Hallelujah. Because faith, real authentic faith, is always more than a mundane adjective. Faith is meant to move us to action. And Abraham was a guy that didn't really know where he was going. For many of you who know the story of Abraham, you know that God called him to go somewhere, and he didn't quite give him a clear picture of what was next. He didn't have a specific location that he was going to, but he did have a call from God, a call to go, a call to get up and start packing his stuff and start moving by faith and start walking first. And he was a guy that quite seriously, I mean, it was a big leap of faith. He took a leap of faith, just like me standing on that platform, about to lose my life, stepping out and jumping and trusting. Abraham trusted God. And I want to look at the details real quickly. Abraham's got a long story. You can read most of the Old Testament and hear Abraham's story. But Genesis 12:1 gives us another sneak peek at this story. So it says, the Lord said to Abram, his name was later changed to Abraham, but the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. Leave everything that's comfortable, that's safe. Leave those things and go to the land that I will show you. I haven't shown you yet. I didn't even give you the zip code yet. Just start going, and then I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. One translation said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Now catch this. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So for Abram, who would later be called Abraham, faith to him meant going. Going to a new country, to a new land, leaving the familiarity of what he was expecting to live the rest of his days experiencing, to go and experience something new. But what does faith look like in your story? See, for Abram, it was going into a new country, but God calls each one of us to take leaps of faith, to take steps of faith. Sometimes it's a small step, sometimes it's a giant leap. But God calls all of us to those sorts of steps of faith. The question is, what does that step of faith in your journey look like? See, we know what it was for him. For some of us, it might mean going to a foreign country like Abram did. For some of you, it might mean going to a foreign land and going on a missions trip or going to live in a foreign country as a missionary. God has called us to go to the ends of the earth, and some of us will receive that call. But for others, it might mean going just across the street in Simi Valley. It might mean finding our missionary context within the place that God has planted us. Saying, God, you put me in this city, you've put me in this neighborhood, you put me on this block, and it's not by accident. How would you use me here? Faith means going. It doesn't mean going all the way to the ends of the earth. Some of us, it means going to the place that he sent you and doing what he's called you to do. See, active faith is always, it always follows a call of God on our lives. What is the call of God on your life? What is it that God has called you to do? See, Abraham was called to go by God, and that's why he went to a new land. God was wanting to build him into a mighty nation, just him and his wife alone. God said, I'm going to make you into a mighty nation. Now, that was a big promise, but we have a big God, amen? And God has big promises. He's got big things in store for our lives, but sometimes we don't see it, and so we don't believe it, and we don't take those steps of faith. But active faith always follows a call of God. I always wonder when I read the book of Hebrews and I hear this faith story of Abraham about how he heard this crazy call. I mean, like, crazy, right? You're living your life, you're 75 years old, and God says, I want you to just pack up, separate yourself from your family and your friends, all the security and protection physically and emotionally that provides, and I want you to go to a new land, a land that I'm going to call you to. I always wonder what would have happened if Abraham would have said, no, God, I'm good. I'm kind of comfortable here, right? I'm kind of stable. I've got my 10-year plan, God, and this ain't in it, right? I've got my plan. I know what I'm going to do with the rest of my days. And I always wondered what would have happened to God, because what would have happened to this man? God would have used another man, but I wonder what would have happened, because ultimately the whole earth was blessed through his descendant, Jesus, who came from the line of Abraham. And I wonder what would have happened to those things. And I wonder what would have happened in your future had you trusted God today. Think about that. I wonder what God would do tomorrow if you would just trust him today with the small step of faith, or maybe the giant leap of faith that he's calling you to. See, faith means going. The second thing we learn from Abraham is that faith means pushing through our fears. Faith means pushing through our fears. Hebrews 11, 8 through 9, or 8 through 10, says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was receiving as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Say those words with me. Not knowing where he was going. Do you like not knowing where you're going? How many of you like just hopping in the car and just driving and like, I'll find my way there? No. Maybe if you're like me, you like to get directions. I like to know where I'm going before I'm getting there, right? Before I get in the car and I start driving, you know, they got that expression, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm making great time. Some of us go through life like that. But I'll tell you a secret. Pushing into an unknown future is scary. When I don't know what's around the next corner, it's a little bit scary. And fear is a natural thing, but there's a time that we've got to say, God, I choose to trust you in spite of my fear, in spite of what's going on. Now, with a show of hands, how many of you have ever been on Space Mountain at Disneyland or Disney World or any of the other? You guys know what I'm talking about. All right. Space Mountain, man, the first time I went on that ride, it terrified me, right? Because it's not because it's so fast or it's crazy, but why? Because it's dark. You can't see what's coming. Like, you don't know if you're going to zig or you're going to zag or you're going to go up or you're going to go down. You don't know what's going to happen. And so because you're in the dark, man, it's terrifying, right? I found out that that roller coaster goes by like 28 to 35 miles an hour, depending on which park you're in. It's crazy. It doesn't go very fast at all, but it's scary because you don't know what's next. You don't know what's next. I actually saw this picture, and it totally blew my mind. You can put it on the screens for me. But I remember seeing this picture. This is the inside of Space Mountain. When you look at it with the lights on, it's not very scary. It looks like a kid's ride, doesn't it? You're like, that doesn't look scary at all. It's a little busy. It's a little messy, but it's not scary. And it changed my perspective, because I believe that sometimes we go through life in a ride like Space Mountain. We're strapped in, and we're going through it, and we can't see what's around the corner. We don't even know that there's a corner, right? You're just going through life, whoa, hey, there's a corner. Whoa, I'm going up. Whoa, I'm going down. We don't know what's going to happen. But there's a God in heaven who sees it just like that picture. He sees it with the lights on. He knows what's around the corner. He knows where the corners are. And I think when we'll have that perspective, it changes things. We know that God's in control, that he knows what's around the corner and when the corner's coming. See, none of us will be without fear in our lives. Not a single one of us will go through life without having those moments of, I didn't realize there was a corner, right? I zigged when I thought we were going to zag. I went up when I thought we were going to go down. I went this way, and I thought we were going to go that way. Those moments will happen, and they can cripple us with fear, the anticipation of what might be, what might come, what might be around the corner if we trust God with this area in our life. But what I would say to you is that the devil wants to rob you of the joy of obedience and taking that next step of faith today. The devil wants to rob you of the joy of trusting God today and experiencing the promised land tomorrow. Of trusting God today for that small thing and seeing God do a big thing tomorrow. See, fear is one of the greatest hindrances to our faith. And the question must be answered in our lives, will I trust God? And that's the question I believe the Spirit of God would ask upon you today is, will you trust God? Will you trust Him for your tomorrow? Will you trust Him with that next step of faith? And this isn't some abstract question, because fear is often a hindrance to receiving the promises of God. 1 John 4:18 tells us about fear. It says that such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. My friend, I hope and pray that today you might experience the fullness of His love for you. And that as you experience the fullness of God's rich grace and love, that it would cast out fear. Not that you wouldn't experience uncertainty, not that you might experience unknowing about the future, but that you would have no fear, for God is with you. See, this life can scare the crap out of you, okay? I'll just say it. When you're scared, we've got this tendency to just shut down and to just stop moving forward, to stop stepping out in faith and trusting in God. But as the famous theologian Mr. Miyagi once said, in The Karate Kid, he says, it's okay to lose to opponent, it's never okay to lose to fear. It's good words of wisdom from Mr. Miyagi. See, we can't miss out on the purposes of God for our lives simply because we're afraid. There's things that'll knock us down, but if we will knock ourselves down by being afraid and not taking those steps of faith, we'll never know what the things we've missed out on are as we don't trust in God. So faith means pushing through our fear. The third point, if you're taking notes this morning, is that none of us are too old or too far gone for the promises of God. See, some of us, you might be listening to the story of Abraham, of jumping out on faith. You see that video at the beginning of those guys surfing the waves and jumping out of airplanes. You think, that's for the young guys, right? That's for the youth. That's for the young adults. But let me just say something. Abraham, he was no spring chicken. You know what I mean? He was not a spring chicken when God had this call on his life. It was a great joy yesterday hiking with some of our Trail Life kids, and we got to see all these baby frogs. I mean, like one-day-old frogs. Like, they're just hopping around. There's thousands of them running around. But I was thinking about that. Because sometimes, you know, springtime's here, and we got new birds, and there's new ducks swimming in the pond, and we think the call of God is only for the young. But let me just tell you, Abraham's story is a reminder to us that the call of God is irrespective of our age. The call of God does not matter about our age. You can be young and make a difference in the world for God. You can be well-seasoned and make a difference in this world for God, or you can be somewhere in between and make a difference for God. See, what matters is not the number quantifying your time on this earth. What matters is your readiness and availability to be used by God and your willingness to take a step of faith, maybe even a leap of faith for God to say, God, I trust you with my future. Genesis 12:1-4 says, Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. I want you to hear me. You are not too old to be used by God. You're not too far gone to be used by God. You haven't made too many mistakes to be used by God. God can redeem and restore and provide purpose no matter what age or what stage of life you're in. See, he was 75 years old. Now, I want you to think about that, man. This guy, he had lived his life. 75 years old, he's probably in a routine. You know what I mean? Like us. Like, I got tacos on Tuesday night. It's Wednesday night, we're going to go here. It's Thursday night, we're going to do this. We got a plan, right? We got routines we get in as we live our lives, as we live in one place, live in a home for long enough, you get these routines. And I'd imagine it was the same for Abram. He is older than we would expect. He was 75 years old when God called him. And he was even older than that when he started to see the promise come to fruition. He was much older than that. See, don't think for a moment that Abraham wasn't settled into life. But God called him to take a leap of faith, to trust him for something bigger than what he expected, to step outside of his comfort zone. And as he did, that's when he began to see the promises of God come to fruition. But it took a while. Let me ask you a question. What miracles will you see in your life, in your marriage, in your city, in your family, in the relationships you have? What miracles will you see tomorrow by your steps of faith today? See, Abram was obedient to God, even though he didn't see the promised land. He didn't see the mighty nation that God was building him to. He just saw him and his older wife. And they were just like, all right, we're going to trust God. But what promises will you see tomorrow by your obedience today? See, Abraham could have easily disqualified himself from the call of God. He could have said to his wife and to others, man, why didn't God call me 20 years ago, right? Why didn't he call me when I still had energy and vitality and I still had all this stuff? That's not when God called him. See, he could have disqualified himself without really knowing what would happen, saying, I'm pretty comfortable with where I am. He could have done that. And who knows what history would have recorded in the days since then. But here's a truth that I want you to say aloud with me. In fact, would you read this aloud with me? Ready? Go. I can never receive the promises of God tomorrow if I've not taken a step of faith today. See, I cannot receive the promises of God tomorrow if I'm not willing to say, I'm going to take a step of faith today. I'm going to trust you, God, with my life. I'm going to give you my whole life, God. I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to trust you with my future. I'm going to trust you with my children. I'm going to trust you with my marriage. I'm going to trust you today for what I don't see. That's why it's called faith. Believing that you can do something so much greater than I could ever accomplish. See, I've got to trust God today for the promise that I want to see tomorrow. And I want to give you a couple quick tips on how we can do that real briefly as we conclude our time today. But how do we have a faith that goes like Abraham? The first thing is you got to keep walking. You got to keep moving forward. You got to not give up. And here's the deal. I believe that very often in life, we give up far before we've reached God's best for our lives. We give up. We throw in the towel. We say, I'm done. I'm tired. I gave it my best, God. I tried it. And we reason with ourselves. But let's be honest. Life can be hard sometimes. I can imagine as Abraham took that step of faith at 75 years old, he didn't see the promises of God come to fruition for many years, that it would have been easy for him to say, all right, God, I tried it. It didn't work. I'm going back home. But he would have missed out on what God had for him. And there are moments in this journey of faith and in life that are overwhelming. Times when we don't know how we're going to muster the strength or the courage to get through it. And it's in those moments that we need to lean on friends. We need to lean on our community of faith. We need to look to others to lift us up, to encourage us. See, there's a reason we do life together in this church family. There's a reason that we talk so much about community groups, because I need someone else to lean on when I'm struggling. I need someone's faith to borrow when I don't quite have enough to get through my situation. I need somebody else to encourage me and lift me up and say, you can do it. You can get through this. You can walk through this. I'll walk with you. We need those people around us, and we need that reminder that we have a God that's with us as well. And the second thing, we've got to keep walking. The second, we've got to ask God, God, what is my next step? What is my next step, God? See, I'm sure Abraham asked himself 10,000 times on this journey, did I make the right choice? Was I really hearing from God? Did I have some bad pizza before we went? I mean, like, was I just having indigestion? What's going on? Is this the right way to go? See, God tells him, uproot your family and go to a land that I'm going to show you. Take a leap of faith. And along the way, I'm gonna imagine that things would get difficult. The first hard day happened. He had a fight with his wife, or there's a sheep that went away, or there's something bad that happened along the way. The scriptures don't give us a full picture of that journey, but I can imagine if you've ever been on a road trip. You ever been on a road trip that went smooth and perfect? Never. There's always something. But along the way, I can imagine he was asking, God, are you sure this is what I'm supposed to do? And I want to encourage you, keep doing what God has called you to do until he tells you to go do something else. Keep going in the direction he's called you to go. Don't give up. Don't surrender. And here's something I've learned from some godly men and women of the faith that have gone before me in my days and have encouraged me. Don't stop doing what God has called you to do until he calls you to something else. Say, but I'm not seeing the fruit yet, God. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep plowing that field. Keep walking forward by faith. Keep trusting that God has called you to this. Don't stop what God has called you to do until he calls you to something else. See, the roadway of faith is littered with the abandoned hopes and the towels of people who have thrown in the towel too soon, who have quit just before they reach what God is calling them to reach. See, often we give up on the promises and blessings of God just before reaching them. See, Abraham could have done that 1,000 times on his journey, but he's listed in Hebrews 11 as a hero of faith because he didn't give up, because he kept trusting in God. He had a faith that propelled him forward, and he kept believing God, even when he didn't see it coming to fruition yet. So don't give up, my friend. Stay in the fight. Keep pursuing God's promise. And the third thing we've got to do is remind ourselves that God already knows our future. See, I was going to say just remember that God knows your future, but I think it's more important to say, I've got to remind myself. You've got to remind yourself that God knows your future. That we sing about a good God who loves us, a good Father who cares about us. Sometimes I've got to remind my soul, hey, soul, God's got this. God's a good God. He knows my future. I don't know when the next zig or zag is coming, but he does, and he's going with me. God already knows my future. See, I need not only to remind myself, but I need people in my life to remind me that God has never left me or forsaken me. He hasn't abandoned me, that he's here. He's with me. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and that God is with us, and he holds the future in my hands, and he's got this. I need to remind myself of that truth sometimes, because when I will remind myself of that truth, I'll remind myself that God is great so I don't have to be in control, then it frees me up to just trust that God's got this. Amen? Amen. Sometimes I need that reminder. See, I believe God wants to give you the sort of faith this morning that goes. Faith that starts walking in obedience to God. Faith that starts trusting God before you even see it coming to fruition. God wants to birth in you, wants to build in you that sort of faith this morning, friends. I believe that's exactly what God wants you to have. Let me ask you, what miracles will you see in your life tomorrow by your steps of faith today? I don't know what they are, but I know that the God of heaven does. The sovereign creator who knows all things, he knows your future days. And let me make you this promise. If you will lean into God and begin trusting him today for your tomorrow, he'll be able to do things that you never imagined he was able to do. I'd imagine for this man, Abraham, a man that was old, that was without children, he had no future hope that God would build him into a nation, that God would give him a promised land, that God would do those things. But that's the purpose that God had for his life. Perhaps you're here this morning and God's been reminding you of some of those dreams, those God dreams that he's put in you, that you've given up on, that you've thrown in the towel. Maybe God said, go, and you said, no. Maybe God said, take a step of faith, and you just sat down instead. This morning, I want to encourage you. Get up. Take that step of faith. We're never too old or never too far gone for God to be able to redeem and restore and do what he wants to do. The question is our availability to God. Will you surrender it to the Lord today? Will you keep walking? Others of us this morning, I believe the encouragement of the Lord is just to keep going. When things get tired, when things get dry, when things get overwhelming, when things get out of control and we feel like we don't know what's next, just keep walking. Encircle your life with people that will lift you up, that'll encourage you, that'll carry the burden with you, that will walk with you through this life of faith, trusting that God's got this. See, there's one thing we can believe and we can know is that God knows your future. And he's created you with a purpose. And the question is, will you trust him with it? Will you trust him enough to say, God, I want to walk where you're leading? Not where I want to go or what's comfortable for me, but God, I want to go where you're leading. Because if we'll do that, I believe God will give us that sort of faith that will change our world, a faith that goes. Would you bow with me and close your eyes as we conclude our time in prayer this morning? As we conclude our time, I believe that God is in this place. He's never left us. He's never left this place. And this morning as we are gathered together, I believe the Lord is speaking to each and every one of us. And in a few moments, we're going to receive of Holy Communion together as a reminder of what Jesus has already done in our behalf. But as we remember that Jesus has already made a way for us to be right with God, that he's good enough to meet every one of our needs, including the one to overcome our sin and our mistakes. But before I do, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, I believe there may be someone in here today that needs to take the very first step of faith, and that's to receive God's free gift of grace and forgiveness. And if that's you, I don't believe you're here by mistake, but God brought you here to hear this reminder, to hear this invitation to receive the free love of the Father. If you haven't been walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to admit to God your need for forgiveness for your past, your need for his power for your present, and your need for eternal life in your future, with every other head bowed and eye closed, I want to invite you in just a moment to lift up your hand, to lift up your eyes, so I can agree with you in prayer. Now, I'm not going to call you down front or do anything strange, but if that's you, right now, with every other head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand? Lift up your eyes. Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. Yes, I see you, sir. Anyone else in this place, you say, that's me. I want to begin a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, can you repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
You said that all I have to do is to come to you with faith. And you would hear me. God, I don't feel like I've got big faith, but I bring what I have, and I ask you to forgive my sins. Help me to change my life through your power and grace, and secure for me eternal life. Jesus Christ, I turn to you over my life. Help me to take a leap of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning real quick? Well, as I said, we're going to receive a communion in just a moment. Our ushers are going to come by in just a second.